All the latest sports news and views. Actions and reactions. Your questions and comments. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk on KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local.
From the historic Roger Hartsook interview room on the former campus of the College of Emporia, this is Saturday Morning Sports Talk driven by LongBineAuto.com, live and local on 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, KVOE. A good Saturday morning to you. Blake Cripps, Tim Miller, Dylan Sherwood, studio engineer Dan Courtright. Fellas, kind of an active night, as it always is, Friday night for high school football. How are you guys this Saturday morning?
Doing great. Doing great. I'm now ready. Looking forward to a Saturday of college football.
That is absolutely right.
Yes, and K-State and Missouri coming up today.
Sure.
That's going to be a good game. And then, of course, KU's at Nevada and Emporia State's at Northeastern State, the 12th-ranked Hornets.
Yep.
And you're getting ready for a trip.
Sure
and,
we are.
Hopefully go down there and take care of business and come back 3-0.
That would be nice. I have not heard good things about Nevada at all.
From
what I have heard, they are not expecting anything. When's the last time that KU went in and they were like, oh, well, geez, if they can only keep pace with the Jayhawks.
Yeah. You know, you go in as a 28-point favorite on the road.
Yeah. And I feel like when this game was announced, people thought like, oh, well, that'll be a pretty good game.
Yeah.
Nevada's program is not that far being removed from being a top 25 team. I don't know what has happened in the last, you know, 4 or 5 years. We know what's happened at KU, but, you know, in terms of Nevada, their fall has been quick.
Yeah, because after week one, they got shellacked by USC, which I think you can come to expect that. Yeah. But then the way they performed in week two against Idaho, that was the real telltale there, because you would expect them to have beaten Idaho. And
yes.
It should be a night where KU should go to 3-0,
sure,
do it relatively handily, but you're still on the road, and you just never know. And that's why they play the games.
So. Late night, too.
Yep, different
time frame. Yeah. So it's kind of like Pac-12 after dark, but
a little bit.
It's going to be
Mountain West after dark.
Mountain West, Big 12 after dark. Hopefully KU takes care of business and then gets ready for the Big 12 opener next Saturday against BYU.
And I would be, by the way, that sounds weird.
It does.
Big 12 opener against Brigham Young, that classic matchup.
You know, what about K-State's a Big 12 opener with UCF.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It sounds preposterous as well. I do recall KU playing BYU a couple of times in like the Aloha Bowl.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Those were some pretty big games, and KU got wins, and I'm sure that was, you know, for BYU at the time, because they still thought of themselves as being, you know, a real football program. Like, oh, my God, now this guy's really falling. And then for, you know, Kansas State and Missouri, kind of the renewal of an old Big 8 rivalry. Yeah. And, you know, Missouri had said some things last year. And, you know, I think that this Kansas State team is better than last year's. I haven't been paying as much attention with Missouri. But, you know, going to Columbia, not necessarily, you know, as a KU fan, I think we can say with confidence, not the nicest place to visit if you're, you know, for any reason. But, you know, Kansas State's got a much higher bar. They've played better than KU has, certainly when you look at every quarter of football. And I don't know if anybody's played as good of a half as KU played. Well, I don't know. Kansas State in that first half against SEMO, they looked pretty unbeatable. But Kansas State has been extremely impressive this year.
Yeah, they have. And I think this will be a good barometer game for them to just, you know, see where they're at in terms of their development. You know, they did get a test for about a half, maybe, against Troy before they blew it open.
Somewhat,
the half.
Troy's a much better team than SEMO.
But I think playing Missouri on the road, I think K-State fans will have even a better indication just how good this team is, which we all seem to think they're pretty good. Another game I'll be curious to follow today will be Illinois and Penn State.
Oh, okay.
Just to kind of see, as a KU fan, just how big of a win that was.
Sure.
Does Illinois go play Penn State relatively close, or is that a game that's just won by Penn State going away?
Yeah, I like it.
So, I'll be paying some attention to that contest today too.
And there's some solid games today. So
sure. I mean, you would hope so. Week three.
You got You got the Battle of Colorado at 9 with Colorado State.
Sure.
Colorado
which is Coach, taking on a whole new complexion.
It is.
Coach Deion Sanders and the Colorado State coach.
Who used to be the coach at Nevada when they were good. That may be.
And Norvell, is that it? Norvell?
Norvell. Dan is in the penalty box with his Colorado State sweatshirt on. You didn't go to Colorado State, Dan, did you?
I lived in Fort Collins for about 3 months. I lived right across campus.
Okay, so 3 months in Fort Collins. That's all.
Now he's a Ram.
Now he's a Ram
pseudo
fan.
Rams fan.
Yeah. Hey, that's all right.
Yeah, that's right.
You know,
but yeah, that if Colorado is indeed locked in now, that probably won't be real close.
No, we'll see. Yeah. It's hard for me to just look at that situation and think, and I know that, you know, they had the documentary or whatever. Maybe it wasn't even a documentary, but they had the cameras in there, and Deion said, I'm bringing my players with me, and, you know, we're kicking all you guys out because you suck, and, you know.
And they keep receipts.
Yeah, we're, you know, all that. It's hard for me to imagine that there's going to be a one-win team and finish in the top 25. I mean, if they do, Deion Sanders has to be your coach of the year, doesn't he?
You would certainly think so.
I mean, he has to be.
To think that he turned that roster virtually completely over. And here they are. You know, they're off to a 2-0 start. They look good doing it for the most part. His son, extremely talented kid.
Very good, yeah.
And then, of course, you talk about Hunter. I mean, good Lord. I mean, that guy's playing both ways, playing about 120 snaps a game. I don't know how long he can keep that up.
Sure.
But, wow.
And Dylan Edwards, the Derby product, making an impact as a freshman. He's good.
I saw him play in person down there as a Derby Panther when I was in Wichita.
Yeah, I saw him compete in track, too. They had the ABCTL1 meet in Salina several years ago, and I know Dylan Edwards was a problem. Luckily enough, I didn't see him on the football field, but also I knew what he was capable of. So,
coming up on the show today, we are going to talk Emporia High School football, a difficult game yesterday for the Spartans. Coach Caden Glinsman will join us. It was a great opening day for Emporia State volleyball. Head volleyball coach Ken Merzek will join us as the Lady Hornets are off to a 7-2 start. It's their best start since at least 2013. And so they are going to be playing the number 7 Lopers today. So that'll be a big challenge. We'll see exactly, you know, that you mentioned the measuring stick for KU Illinois. We're going to get a measuring stick and a half today for Emporia State volleyball. And then we'll be joined by the voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holtis, as he previews our coverage coming up on Country 101.7 on Sunday. It's the Jaguars and the Chiefs. You can hear the Chiefs all season long on Country 101.7. Time for a break, but before we go to that, it's time to name our Emporia Main Street Athletes of the Week. With Dylan Sherwood, we've got an Emporia High Athlete of the Week and an Area Athlete of the Week,
yes,
Dylan.
Yes, we do. Let's go over the nominations. First, for Emporia High, Braden Seiler, 3 goals, including the game winner on Thursday night against Valley Center. Kevin Magana had 3 goals this last week for Emporia High. Callie Keough was 2nd in singles at Andover Central. And then the doubles team of Peyton Chanley and Kinsley Hines, they were also 2nd at Andover Central for doubles. But I'm going to go with Braden Seiler. He's a freshman. He's made a really good impact for Victor Ibarra's squad, and they got off to a rough start to their season. The schedule has been tough, but they've won 3 straight, and Braden Seiler has 4 goals on the season.
They're playing much better.
Including 3 here in the last 3 matches, and Coach Seiler's son. You know, when I talked to Braden on Wednesday, just looking at him, like, you look much like your dad.
Sure.
So Braden Seiler is our Emporia High Main Street Athlete of the Week.
And then the Area Athlete of the Week?
Yes, got a couple nominations and had one emailed in to us. First off, Caleb Arnold, this one was submitted from us. He's a sophomore at Opie. He won the Northern Heights Invitational on Thursday. From our Area Game of the Week last night, Madison's Hayden Helm scored 7 touchdowns. But we're going to Northern Heights for this week's Emporia Main Street Area Athlete of the Week. Ellie McCory, a freshman at Northern Heights, last Saturday won the Class 3-2-1A race at Wamego with a time of 18:49, and then won the Carr Invitational on Thursday with a time of 18:43. I know Brent Maycock of Keisha Covered had that, so I saw that, and then she backed it up with the first place finish on Thursday. So Ellie McCory of the Northern Heights Girls Cross Country Team is our Emporia Main Street Area Athlete of the Week. And, of course, if you have an athlete that had a great performance during the week, you can get a hold of me here at the station. You can email me at sherwoodd@kvoe.com. You can also email kvoe@kvoe.com. It'll get to me somehow. But, again, would love to get some more area athletes spotlight. But with Ellie McCory, just seeing that over the last week, being able to get someone other than someone we focus on with our area game of the week with football. So get a hold of me if you've had a area athlete that stands out, or if there was someone from Emporia High that I missed, get a hold of me there too. So
okay, so those are our Emporia Main Street Athletes of the Week. We'll take a time out. When we come back, we'll be joined by Emporia High School football coach Caden Glinsman. That is next on Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongbineAuto.com, right here on KVOE, live and local.
At Longbine Auto Plaza, it's Chevy truck season, and that means great offers on new Chevy trucks that are perfect for your hard-working jobs. Truck season offers on new 2023 Chevy trucks, like over $5,000 MSRP on a 2023 Chevy Silverado 1500 LT 2.7-liter crew cab. Or get financing as low as 0% and $1,750 total rebates. Or get an all-new 2024 Chevy Equinox RS for only $489 per month, 36-month lease. And with all the fun fall activities, let our certified technicians keep your vehicle in top running shape for those fall road trips and school activities. Chevy's truck season is the time for incredible savings on new Chevy models. So come see us today or visit our website 24/7 at longbindauto.com. Chevy, find new roads. $489 payments based on 36-month lease with tax fees and first payment due at closing with approved credit.
Are you looking to start or expand a business in the area? Do you want to invest in property development? Do you want to help build or grow events that draw people to our area? Are you someone that wants to volunteer to make the region better? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Emporia Main Street is the organization for you. Visit Emporia Main Street at 727 Commercial Street or visit us online at emporiamainstreet.com. Your path to a better community starts at Emporia Main Street.
I'm Ryan Radke with This Week in the NCAA on Westwood One. With women's soccer season in full swing, today we salute BYU head coach Jennifer Rockwood. Earlier this month, the Cougars earned their first number one ranking in program history. They grabbed the top spot after a 4-0 start to the season, which included an upset victory over defending champion UCLA. Coach Rockwood is in her 29th season on the job. She grew up near BYU's campus, played her college ball for the Cougars, and has been the program's only head coach since they became a D1 team. The top ranking is just another milestone for Rockwood, who started this year with 435 wins in her career.
It's an honor for sure. You know, we've been number two a couple times, and we've been in the top five over the course of the BYU existence. And, finished number two a couple years ago. But, yeah, that one spot feels pretty good.
Party like it's 1994, next on This Week in the NCAA.
Wendy's has changed the burger game with their new loaded nacho cheeseburger. How, you might ask? Well, here's a few cheesy reasons. It starts with a fresh, never-frozen beef patty, protected by two layers of melty American cheese, crunchy tortilla strips, then, wait for it, creamy queso. Choose wisely. Choose Wendy's new loaded nacho cheeseburger.
Limited time only at participating U.S. Wendy's. Fresh beef available in the contiguous U.S., Alaska, and Canada.
State defeated Northwest Missouri State for the first time since 1994. The Hornets from Kansas snapped a 29-game losing streak to the Bearcats. The two schools play each other every season in the MIAA Conference. Garen Higgins has been the head coach of the Hornets since 2007.
You know, honestly, I'm just so proud of the players. Hey, this isn't the one and only game of the season. We got a long ways to go. We still got a story to tell, but we closed the book on this one. That's what I do know. And we talked about that, closing the book.
That's This Week in the NCAA. I'm Ryan Radke on Westwood One.
live and local sports news and views. Saturday morning sports talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back to Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongbineAuto.com. Blake Cripps, Dylan Sherwood, Tim Miller here with you. And we are joined now by the head football coach for Emporia High School, the Spartans falling to Salina Central 46-13 yesterday. Coach Glinsman joining us here. Coach, I appreciate your time. Thanks for the time this morning.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Well, obviously the loss to Salina Central, you get to come back home, but initial thoughts after last night's defeat to the Mustangs?
Yeah, it's disappointing, obviously, for the kids. You know, you want to be able to put the best product out there and have those guys come away with a victory, and obviously that didn't happen. But, you know, we're still getting better. We're laying the foundation for the program, and, you know, we're still motoring around.
Coach, we're losing you a little bit there on the reception here. I know from listening to the game, at least in the early part of the game, there were some issues in terms of guarding the big chunk plays defensively. In those big plays that the team gave up, what were you seeing on the sideline as maybe an issue to work on this week in practice in terms of defending those chunk plays?
Yeah, simple things like just getting the line, getting the play call in, and knowing the defensive coverage, and then being able to execute that.
Coach, your second drive that you had offensively, you got down to the 8-yard line, and then the big penalty came up. What did you see from that vantage point? Because from when I saw it on the field, I saw a Salina Central player get to Sheldon Stewart, but what exactly happened on that play? Because then it just seemed like it went backwards from there.
You know, yeah, it just seemed like it was an unforced error on our part. You know, I talked about consistency and before the game, not being able to, or being able to just be able to take away those unforced errors, you know, illegal procedures, false starts, you know, and obviously those bonehead penalties like that. They had warned our player the play before, and unfortunately, we still, you know, I guess in hindsight, maybe on film, it would have looked like a ticky-tack personal foul, but they had warned him to play before, and so it was warranted. And those things just derail us. We can't have those kind of setbacks, especially like you said, you know, when we're 8 yards away from scoring, you know, on a second down, and we felt like we were moving right along there, and you know, so those are just things we got to work on. But we'll continue to get better.
Coach, I'm curious, how many guys do you have on both sides of the ball who are playing their first varsity season, particularly starting varsity football games?
Well, I don't have the roster in front of me, but there's a few. You know, and it's great to have Coach Baldwin out and be able to get some of those basketball players out. But at the same time, you know, it's some of those guys that you know, came out as seniors and haven't been able to play for whatever reason. You know, we've got a couple of kids who just came out this year. We've got a couple of kids who maybe came out when they were freshmen and sophomores but didn't play as juniors or got hurt as juniors or back as seniors. And so there's, you know, even if, you know, you look at a guy like Cooper Reck, who's obviously, you know, one of our best players, you know, he's a guy who I don't think he played as a sophomore and then came out late as a junior. So, you know, there's still a lot of football left to be had, and those guys are still super raw, but we'll continue to coach those guys up and, like I said, lay the foundation for the future.
Emporia High School football coach Caden Glinsman joining us here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk. Coach, you mentioned that the roster is not maybe as experienced as you hope it will be in year two, year three, year four of your tenure here. How much does the secondary play have to do with that inexperience? Because it seems like that is a position that is so reactive. You want to have a good feel for where the ball is going. And I know that from talking to Dylan yesterday, maybe the secondary play not quite up to where you wanted. How much do you think experience will help that particular unit of your defense?
Yeah, that'll be huge. And that's all facets. You know, I always say you get better at football by playing more football. And so
sure.
You know, we've got to do a good job of that. You know, and that's in the off season, you know, with me coming in and moving from Montana, I didn't do a great job of getting these guys into, you know, Skelly competitions and other jamborees and things of that sort. So that's something that I definitely need to work on and I need to own going into the off season. But yeah, I feel like, you know, that's just something that's just going to grow with time, you know, and being able to have those guys, you know, get those meaningful reps. These guys who were playing as freshmen and sophomore, you know, those guys are going to be juniors and seniors, and those guys underneath, they will have had those reps in practice, those reps in jamborees, those reps in skelly sessions where, yeah, they're, like you said, they're, it's a reactive position, and a lot of it honestly is about communication and being able to know where you're supposed to be and do the job you're supposed to do.
Coach, and you talk about Ty Iverson and Diego Guzman, both those guys were able to get to the in the backfield early, but those two, and I know Enrique Rios had a sack as well last night, but you know, those three have been pivotal, and I know Ty's been able to bust through, but what's big about those three up front for you guys on the defensive side of the ball?
Yeah, I think, you know, first and foremost, when I came in and talked to Coach Dreher about you know, what we want out of our defensive guys, the number one thing is to be able to run to the ball. And so those defensive line guys, they've got to be guys that that are fast and physical, and those guys are that. So I think it's great, and you know, it's kind of fun for me being able to come in and really not know who's who, and be able to, as the weeks progress, be able to move guys in a position where we feel like they can be successful. And you know, those guys, you know, have done a good job. I do think it's just about being consistent. I think they've done I think they've been coached well. Coach Bass and Coach Wells do a great job with the D line, and so I feel like we're pretty fortunate there. And just get those guys to continue to grow, we got big things for them here in the future.
Coach, it goes without saying that football is not an easy sport to play. I mean, it's physical. There's a lot of hard work and practice. I'm just curious, what's been your thoughts as far as how these guys have come to work every week despite the tough start to the season?
Yeah, no, and I think they understand. I think we set those expectations, as far as, you know, from the seniors, you know, I've talked a lot about those guys leaving their legacy. You know, what's that going to be? What's that going to look like? And I think, you know, there have been some guys who have definitely stepped up and led the way there. And then for those younger guys, they understand that, you know, it's not about necessarily the wins and the losses. It's about getting better and being able to, like I said, lay this foundation where, you know, we're that upper echelon 5A football program, and people are talking about us as, being that team to be, not just where we're at necessarily right now.
Coach, early thoughts on Topeka High next week for homecoming?
Yeah, we're watching their film right now. We're breaking them down. They've got a couple of really good players. They've got a 4-star recruit we just saw on Max Preps, number one, and you know, we're gonna have our hands full, but you know, at the same time, we're looking to get out there and compete.
Topeka High and Emporia High coming up on Friday. That'll be a 6:35 pregame. Kickoff at 7 o'clock. Of course, you can hear the game with Dylan Sherwood right here on your home for Spartan Athletics all season long, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM KVOE. Coach, have a great rest of your weekend. Thanks so much for the time.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Emporia High School head football coach Caden Glensman joining us, and we'll have the Spartans and the Trojans, and I'm a Topeka West guy, so, I mean, that's a game that I circle. I hope that Topeka High
loses. So you'll be a huge Spartan fan, won't you?
Even bigger than normal, for sure. Let's take a timeout. We'll be back with Ken Murzek, Emporia State head volleyball coach, after a 1-0 start in MIAA play, of course. Mitch Holtis, the voice of the Chiefs, is also around the corner, right here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by Longbine Auto .com on KVOE, live and local.
At Longbine Auto Plaza, it's Chevy truck season, and that means great offers on new Chevy trucks that are perfect for your hard-working jobs. Truck season offers on new 2023 Chevy trucks, like over $5,000 MSRP on a 2023 Chevy Silverado 1500 LT 2.7-liter crew cab, or get financing as low as 0% and $1,750 total rebates. Or get an all-new 2024 Chevy Equinox RS for only $489 per month, 36-month lease. And with all the fun fall activities, let our certified technicians keep your vehicle in top-running shape for those fall road trips and school activities. Chevy's truck season is the time for incredible savings on new Chevy models. So come see us today or visit our website 24/7 at longbindauto.com. Chevy. Find new roads. $489 payments based on 36-month lease with tax fees and first payment due at closing with approved credit.
Are you looking to start or expand a business in the area? Do you want to invest in property development? Do you want to help build or grow events that draw people to our area? Are you someone that wants to volunteer to make the region better? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Emporia Main Street is the organization for you. Visit Emporia Main Street at 727 Commercial Street or visit us online at emporiamainstreet.com. Your path to a better community starts at Emporia Main Street.
Take the stress out of getting a mortgage. The local mortgage team at Emporia State Federal Credit Union guides you from pre-approval to choosing the perfect loan and completing the application, ultimately getting you into your home on time and stress-free. When it's time to choose a lender, go with Lyon County's number one mortgage lender, Emporia State Federal Credit Union. Visit esfcu.com to connect today. Equal housing lender insured by NCUA, NMLS number 424226.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday morning sports talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
And, of course, we are driven by LongbineAuto.com. And we are here now with the head volleyball coach of Emporia State University. What a start to the season for them in the Ken Mrzek era as Emporia State gets a straight set win over Fort Hays State to open up White Auditorium play 25-23, 25-19, 25-19. And start the season 7-2. It is at least the best start through nine matches in a decade for Emporia State volleyball coach. Congratulations.
Thanks a ton. Thanks for having me this morning.
Well, you know, we talked in football. There was a big win you may have heard about last week up in Northwest Missouri. And Coach Higgins, you know, gave his guys, hey, 24-hour rule. You can enjoy this next 24 hours, and then we've got to get back to work. You guys had a big home win to go 1-0 at White Auditorium to start the year, pick up your first MIAA win in your first match. How do you guys handle that at volleyball? Because it's way less than 24 hours. You guys are going to be playing a match here in, what, about six hours or so?
Yeah, we play at 3 o'clock today, and hopefully we can get a great turnout like we had last night. But, yeah, you try to congratulate the team and take a deep breath and let them enjoy it for a little bit. But we'll be back at it. We'll meet at 10 this morning and try to put together a game plan and a scout that we have prepared. To reset. So, yeah, you don't get to enjoy it for too long when you play back-to-back, that's for sure.
How much did you appreciate your team's ability to come back from some deficits and overcome a little bit of adversity? You guys had a good start to that first set, but then Fort Hays State made a pretty nice run on you, chunking back into the match. I think it was tied at 15-15 after you guys had gotten off to a really good start. And then, obviously, we talked last night about the 4-0 start for Fort Hays State in the third set, and it looked like the Tigers were going to try to make a match of it there, but you guys again were able to stop that run, and you know, being able to stop momentum is so huge in volleyball. What allowed your Lady Hornets to do that yesterday?
You know, we focus a lot on the play between the play. So, you know, in volleyball, it's not a continuous sport. You know, in basketball, soccer, some other different sports, you could turn the ball over, and you know, you got to switch from offense to defense, and you don't have much time to internalize that play unless there was a foul or it goes out of bounds or something. But, you know, we try to really spend a lot of time in the preseason talking about kind of a routine that we have, you know, between plays. Girls kind of come into the circle and try to reset for that next point. And this preseason, we've done, actually, I'm not excited about it, but we've played pretty well from behind. And, you know, I don't try to stress out too much. I'm not really quick on the timeouts either. I kind of try to let them play through it, which, you know, may be something that, you know, I need to change because there is a lot of psychological things that happen when you cut a timeout for someone to go in to make their serve after one. So, but, you know, they're just, you know, I think we got a pretty resilient group. And the good thing is I think they're believing, you know, and I think that's really a testament to when we are down. I think they have a pretty good sense that, you know, we can come from behind and get the 25 first.
Ken Mrzek is my guest. He is the head volleyball coach for Emporia State. You know, I don't know if you, when you come in to a new program, a new situation like you did, and you're thinking, man, you know, I don't know if you think about it or not, but I'm sure that many coaches probably crosses their mind, you know, what's the best that we could be this year? If somebody would have told you through nine matches, 7-2, would you have believed them, or did you did you come into this program thinking, you know, yeah, we can be really good right off the jump?
You know, I've done this for a little while career-wise, and, you know, I've learned that, you know, it starts at the top, and if I don't believe, they're certainly not going to. I've kind of learned that in my, you know, just my career. And so any job I've ever taken, you know, I try to set the standard and the expectation as high as possible. So, you know, I definitely, you know, I know, and let's not kid each other. I mean, today's going to look a lot different than last night, just what's on the other side of the net. But, you know, I definitely, you know, I felt like there's no reason that, you know, we couldn't be competitive right out of the gate. And so I'm not really shocked. You know, going, wow, we're, you know, 7-2. But I am a little bit surprised just with, you know, a freshman setter and, you know, some different people on the other side of the net that, you know, are making transitions from junior colleges and, things like that. You know, I think that I'm more, you know, just a little bit, just encouraged by, you know, some different people like that. Like last night we had, you know, Maureen, I don't know what she ate yesterday, but hopefully she has it again. And we haven't seen a performance from her like that. And, you know, that to me, that's great, right? Her number got called, and, I mean, she performed at an incredibly high level last night. So, you know, I think those are more of the, you know, question marks in my head, right? You can recruit all you want, but, you know, they haven't played in the conference or at this level or in this league, and, you know, you don't really know what that's going to look like. So I think those are more of the question marks I would have.
Well, and Braylee Bogle, you know, was not necessarily the full-time setter the first match or so. She kind of split time, but she has certainly assumed the reins of your offense very quickly. What's allowed her as a freshman to come in and be able to do that and get so comfortable? I mean, looking at how the offense is performing, 33-33 is what you hit against Fort Hays State. That was your best hitting percentage of the year. So certainly she's engineering the offense the best that it has been all season.
You know, she comes from, you know, Wichita area and obviously had a nice high school program. It was really interesting because I believe Fort Hays State, their setter was from the same high school, which is kind of ironic. But, you know, she played high-level club volleyball, and, you know, I think that's, at least in our sport, you know, pretty significant when they're playing travel ball and, you know, playing against kids that are all, you know, playing in college and at a high level. And I think that transition isn't as great for them, which I think lends to, you know, her ability to step in and kind of run the show. It's what she did for, you know, her high school and club team. And, you know, the good thing is, though, you know, we've got a setter that's obviously seen some action and played last year in the MIAA. And it gives us, and what I was doing earlier in the season was, you know, kind of flipping between a 5-1 and a 6-2 offense to try to get more physical. And it might be something we actually have to do today because, you know, one area that we struggled with last night was our block to try to slow some people down. And it'll be something that, you know, after I watched the match last night to kind of look at today, that might be a flip we have to make to try to get a better matchup, more physical.
Kim Mrzek, my guest. He is the head volleyball coach for Emporia State. They are in action today against the number 7 Lopers of Nebraska, Kearney. And Don Wiest, your intrepid SID, has told me so many times that, you know, you have this Japanese player, Sandora Sasaki, and he said it's been a while since you can just kind of hear the ball differently when she swings it. And, you know, from being in the gym last night, yeah, there are times when she gets a hold of it and it just kind of comes off her hand a little bit differently than everybody else's. 16 more kills. I believe she's had 10-plus kills in every single match as a Lady Hornet. What has made her so explosive for you offensively?
Well, it's not really a surprise. I watched her a lot in the junior college season, and I know their coach really well, and their coach is a former Division I head coach, and so I knew that, you know, when I was kind of initially recruiting her, you know, that at least I wasn't going to get a biased opinion on if the kid could score probably at this level. And, you know, we've got she's got a Division I type arm. I mean, you know, she hits it a ton. You know, we're trying to work on other facets of her game. You know, she gets picked on in serve receive, and, you know, that happened a little bit last night. It's kind of happened every match. And they'll try to do it again today, and we'll have a little better plan for it. And, you know, her blocking and some other skills, you know, are obviously she's not the tallest person and not the best jumper in the gym. But, yeah, I just think her experience, you know, I mean, they start them really young in that country. And fundamentally, I mean, she's as sound as any kid I've ever coached in my career. And, yeah, she's having a so far a great season. And I'm sure, you know, every team will have a scout for her specifically. And hopefully, like last night, you know, she can just keep figuring out ways to get kills, because she's been impressive, to say the least.
Well, Coach, last one for you. The number seven Lopers coming in. You mentioned that this is going to look a lot different than yesterday. What are your initial thoughts on the top 10 Lopers?
We're going to have to do a couple things well. You know, they're not going to give us a bunch of points, that's for sure. And, you know, they've got a coach that's been there for over 20 years and obviously has a nationally ranked program every single year and in the postseason. So they've got some history on their side, but they've got an All-American right side that actually played last year at Northwest Missouri State that transferred in as a graduate student. And, you know, she's going to be a focus for the offense. She's going to get a lot of looks, and, you know, we're going to have a plan for her. And, you know, I just think one area that we're going to try to hopefully leverage some things is they serve receive with two people. And we're gonna try to take some risks behind the service line today and try to knock them off the net a little bit, so we're not defending, you know, two or three people, hopefully only one. But it'll be a challenge, but, you know, one that I'm looking forward to. I think it's really fun to play, you know, the top end of the conference, and it's always good to kind of see where you're at. So we're looking forward to it at 3 p.m. today at White.
7-2 Emporia State taking on number 7 Nebraska Kearney. Coach Ken Mrzek in his first year at Emporia State. Congratulations on the 1-0 start, Coach, and good luck today.
Thanks for covering us, and have a great day. And I can't believe you got time in here without no prime time. Come on. Everybody's got to be on that Colorado State.
Hey, we talked about it for a segment, Coach. We had first segment we talked about Colorado State. Have a great day, Coach.
Hey, thank you. Bye-bye.
We'll see you, Coach Ken Mrzek. Yeah, I didn't listen to the first part of the show. What do you want from me? We had Colorado State on. I mean, give me a break here. Well, all right, yeah. So I believe that Dan is going to give me the point when we are ready, as we are here with Mitch Holtis, the voice of the Chiefs, and Mitch's appearance, of course, made possible by Emporia State Federal Credit Union. Ask Isabel Lopez or Jared Gurman about the credit union advantage and case and ease in getting a home mortgage loan from Emporia State Federal Credit Union, NMLS number 424-226. Blake Cripps, Dylan Sherwood, Tim Miller here with the voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holtis. Mitch, you know, I've been listening to you for a number of years, never gotten the chance to interview you, but certainly as a passionate Chiefs fan for 35 years and a broadcaster, it is really a pleasure to get to have you on the show. Thank you so much for your time this morning.
Well, first of all, Blake, congratulations on getting that job. That's a prestigious and tradition-filled job, as you know, in the best Division II conference in the United States of America. And as you know, also know, part of tradition is reading that Emporia State Federal Credit Union.
And I do.
As a rookie, I don't know, it wasn't bad. I don't know, who else we got? Tim is in here. Who else we got?
We have Tim and Dylan, and yeah, not perfect, for sure.
Well, Dylan had a great rookie season, much like our rookies a year ago, and I guess I feel like you're Felix Anyadike Uzama or, you know, Rashi Rice. You're the, like, this year's rookie class. So,
sure.
Good start, but that's, hey, you're going to be twice as good as your second one, which is good to be as good as your first. So.
That's
welcome to the
right.
NFL.
Thank you, sir.
Welcome to the NFL.
Mitch, didn't you compare me like a Sky Moore catch last year at one point when I read that liner?
It might. How do you mean? Early Sky Moore or later?
Yeah, it was like in like November. November Sky Moore.
Okay. If it was in September, it would have been the Sky Moore muff punting. I don't think I would have wanted to give that one to you. But let me give you, I'll say, for you, Dylan, it was the Sky Moore touchdown in Super Bowl 50 stuff.
Oh, all and, right. Not the,
without a doubt. Well,
not the drop in the... Not the RPO drop he had against the Lions. We'll try to forget that one.
Yes. Well, obviously, we'll start with that. And week one is never easy when you're the champs. Defensively, probably early returns were good, but offensively couldn't put things together. What were your thoughts on the week one loss to Detroit?
My analogy, you guys, is that it was like a baseball game where you leave 12 runners on base and five at third base with less than two outs. That was the feeling. That game, in as bad as I felt in real time, when I reviewed the video, I was like, oh, my gosh. You just pause it and you kind of look up at the ceiling like, that's a chance to win it, that's a chance to win it, that's a chance to win it. And that's taking nothing away from the Detroit Lions. They're much improved. And the way the NFC North is starting, who knows, they could win it, get their first division title since, I don't know, Persia was an empire. That being said, it was really a source of frustration. And the other mantra I'd say, I'm giving you a long answer here, and my mantra, I'm going to do it actually a minute with Mitch on it next week, is the hidden yardage. You can do ESU game, you can do Olpe, you can anybody. The hidden yardage, which is those six drop passes, and it's an extrapolation. I mean, it's an estimation between that and the yardage you would have gained on the drop. Take that plus the yardage of penalties, which in the stat sheet. So in the stat sheet, a drop just looks like incompletion, right? Patrick had this terrible, he was 21 of 32. Man, that's not Patrick. What's going on with Patrick? That's all that's on the stat sheet. The reality of it is there was like 128 yards of lost yardage on drops, including the pick six. So you did, then the penalty yardage, it just shows the penalties and the penalties penalty yardage. What it does not show is wiping out the play that you had. That's not in the stat sheet, so it's that hidden yardage, so to speak. A 17-yard pass to the aforementioned Sky Moore gets wiped out with the holding call. Well, that's a net minus 27. When you added all that up, I'm giving you a long answer, but here's your answer. It was 187 yards of lost yardage, hidden yardage. That doesn't show up in the stat sheet. That equals almost 14 points. That game was closer to being a double-digit Chiefs win than a one-point Chiefs loss. I mean, it was reality. I got it. But if you catch my drift, it just accentuates the frustration of that game.
Mitch, first off, congratulations. 30 years now as the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, the longest tenured play-by-play voice in team history. So congratulations. And I guess I'll just start by kind of going back again to the Lions game. Is that as out of sync on offense as you've seen a Chiefs team in quite some time?
Hang on, Tim. I got some oatmeal and prunes here. Hang on. Okay. I'll get the shuffleboard after these Emporia guys. Okay, I got shuffleboard.
Yeah, you can join me on the pickleball court.
I'll take you on. That's fun. And honestly, Tim, that was part of the frustration as well, because that did not show up in St. Joseph. It was much better in St. Joseph. Like, there was some rhythm there. The preseason was a little choppy. It wasn't awesome, but it wasn't that. And honestly, another part of my thesis here going, especially into week two and beyond, with this young, well, all the pass catchers, just not only the young wide receivers, but the tight ends and running backs. Patrick Mahomes is going to put the ball where it is supposed to be, meaning, let's just take a crossing pattern by Kadarius Toney. Just use him. If he's using going left to right on a crossing pattern, the NFL teams will show you a defense and then change it within a metapixel. And so they'll show you man and then flip to maybe a man-zone combo, which we do a lot, or a zone. So all of a sudden, I run a crosser, which is a man-beater generally. And you come across, but all of a sudden they switch to zone. And now you got a guy squatting in the zone area that's 2 yards away from you as I'm moving into that area, if you follow my drift here. Pat's going to put the ball on your opposite hip. You're still open. We're going to get yardage. But the ball's going to be on your opposite hip to your right as you're moving left. You have to make that catch. The RPO play that I was talking with Dylan about, that's one where it's a bread-and-butter play for us. He puts at the right hip a quick slant of Sky Moore, who's going to his left on this quick slant, but the ball goes where it needs to be, on the right hip. You've got to catch that. So all of these guys have got to right now catch the ball when it's outside of your honey spot catch radius or your comfort zone catch radius. This isn't going to be a strike right down the middle. This is going to be Max Scherzer throwing a slider on the black portion of the plate because he knows how to get this hitter out. That's where these guys have got to adjust to Patrick Mahomes' ability and what Travis Kelce can do in his sleep. But the others have got to do that because it's going to be just time and time again where that will be the circumstance.
Well, Mitch, what's the status for Travis Kelce tomorrow? He's been a limited participant in practice. And, of course, Chris Jones, you know, back with the team after signing the deal on Monday. What about those two? And, how can they make an impact tomorrow if they're back on the field with the guys tomorrow?
Dylan, let's start with the Surgeon General's warning. Read the fine print on the packet. And that is this. We're not playing Madden. Oh, Kelsey's getting on the plane, and so is Chris Jones. Give me the controller, AAABBYY, because we have to be realistic with the expectations of these two. As it stands at whatever, 9:03 or wherever we're at, 9:02 in the morning, they will play. But how much, how effective? I'm actually more concerned about Chris Jones than I am Kelce. They'll both be on pitch counts. But Chris Jones had no training camp. And he was so good last year because Tim and Dylan will tell you, my reports that I did during training camp last year, I was extolling the virtue of Chris Jones. I go, if he keeps this up, he's going to be Aaron Donald. He became Aaron Donald, even better in some circumstances. Now he's going to try to do this without training camp, zero. I said it's not even jumping into the deep end of the pool. He's jumping into the Colorado River White Rapids. And, I mean, this is going to be a firestorm for him. So, he's going to be careful. The Chiefs will have to be very calculated. You guys always have coaches on. It's awesome. Coaches always go, hey, I'm only going to play Tim 10 snaps in this game. And then, oh, my God, we got to get a stop. Tim, get in there. And then it runs up to 30 snaps, and that's the way it works in the heat of the game. But the Chiefs have got to be careful with Chris Jones and just acclimate him into the game. And same with Kelce. But I think right now, I mean, prayers up. Knock on the wood of Lyon County that they'll play. But, again, how much? And people just can't expect them to go out and be, gosh, go be Super Bowl champions in this week because it's still going to be a ramp up for both these guys.
Well, Mitch, it will not be an easy trip to Jacksonville, an up-and-coming team in this league. I'm curious, and they're obviously really good offensively. I'm curious to get your thoughts on what has the addition of Calvin Ridley meant to their offense.
Enormous, because they've been okay, if not good. And if you guys recall in November, after we played them in November, we had played the Titans and them back-to-back. And after they lost to us, I think they were 3-7, if I'm not mistaken. I go, wait a minute here. I'm watching both these teams. Look at the slip and surge coming. And that is the slip by the Titans and the surge by the Jags. And that's exactly what happened. I wouldn't have said if I was wrong. I'm a politician. I bring it up. Right. And so these guys go rolling in, and then they come back from 27 down, and then they give us all we want. We beat them in a tough game in that divisional playoff game in January. But, Tim, they're better, way better with Calvin Ridley. Why? Now all of a sudden he makes Christian Kirk better. He makes Zay Jones better. He makes Evan Engram, their good tight end, better. You've got to you want to give attention to Travis Etienne because he's electric. But if I've got to spend time with another electric player in Calvin Ridley, how much electricity do I have? And then they throw in Tank Bigsby, who's a very sneaky addition to their offense, who's a big, powerful back, who's a perfect complement to the speedy Travis Etienne. And then Trevor Lawrence last year, who's going to be your nugget of the morning, he was the most improved quarterback in NFL history, year one to year two, in the rise in quarterback rating from a miserable year one with Urban Meyer to year two with Dougie Peterson. So put all that into the ingredients into the blender, and you've got a team that I think right now on September the 16th or wherever we're at, and now at 9:05 in the morning, that is the one seed until proven different.
Wow.
All of the discussion has been Bills and Bengals and us and got it, right? And that's not casting aspersion on any team, including us, or Chiefs fans going, no, hang on here. This team, should have been mentioned all along in the same sentence with everybody else. And right now, because of their schedule and the division that they play in, they've got the primrose path to be the one seed this year.
Wow, it sounds like maybe even, an even bigger matchup than we were anticipating. Chiefs at the Jaguars, that is tomorrow, 11 a.m. pregame, kickoff at 12 o'clock, Chiefs Kingdom Show coming up on Monday on your home for the Chiefs, Country 101.7. Voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holthus. Mitch's appearance made possible by Emporia State Federal Credit Union. Ask Isabel Lopez or Jared Gurman about the credit union advantage and ease in getting a home mortgage loan from Emporia State Federal Credit Union, NMLS number 424-226. Have a safe trip down and enjoy having you on, and we will see you next week and have a great call tomorrow.
Blake, no pressure here, buddy, but that's two. That's two and one. That's awesome. but don't worry about my wrath. Worry about Isabel's or Jared's or Tim's wife. That's what you got to worry about.
We will do that.
You screw up that ad, Rook. You're running laps.
Okay, so. That sounds good.
Well done, my friend. Well done.
Thank you, Mitch. We'll appreciate it. We'll see you next week.
Yep, you got it.
Mitch Holthus, the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. That is extremely, extremely high praise for the Jaguars.
Well, yes. They've got a lot of weapons offensively. Now, defensively, I think they still have a little ways to go.
Sure.
But, man, on offense, I don't know if you'll have – I mean, there's not very many teams have the weapons that they do.
Well, and he made a good point. You can't help but get better when you remove yourself from the coaching disaster that Urban Meyer turned into.
Yeah, they went from a very, very poor, very poor NFL coach to – I mean, Doug Peterson really knows what he's doing.
Wasn't he the guy who won the Super Bowl with the Eagles?
Yes.
I was not crazy when I was thinking that. They got a Super Bowl-winning coach. And even though Peterson has not been a great head coach, you know, around, he's been on so many good teams as a coordinator.
Oh, sure. And, you know, I mean, he's learned from some of the best, including Andy Reid, obviously.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's going to be a tough task tomorrow. Chiefs will have their hands full.
That is absolutely right. Coming up in terms of local sports today, NFL Insider on KVOE will be at 1 o'clock today. NFL Preview at 9:30 this morning. And, of course, we'll have KU football at Nevada, kickoff at 9:30 pregame on the Jayhawk Radio Network, 8 p.m. today on KVOE. And on Country 101.7, it's the Wildcats and Missouri. That game already getting previewed. Pre-game already underway on Country 101.7. That kickoff is at 11 a.m. Chiefs at Jaguars, 11 a.m. Kickoff at noon on Sunday. Of course, we'll have the Royals against the Astros back on our air. That'll be tomorrow with a first pitch of 1:10. Dolphins, Patriots tomorrow. Both of those games, Royals. And then the NFL coverage from Westwood One. Kickoff at 7:20 for Sunday Night Football. That will be on KVOE, and we will have the Royals for an afternoon game against the Guardians on Monday, Monday Night Football, Saints and Panthers. And then, of course, Emporia State Football coming up today. I'll have your coverage from Tahlequah. RV Doc pregame show at 5 o'clock, kickoff at 6 o'clock, number 12, Hornets taking on Northeastern State today as I make the trip, my first trip, Dan's first trip to Tahlequah, Oklahoma. So I'm told the stairs await.
Yeah, the stairs await. And good thing there's not a whole lot going on.
That is fine with me. I'm looking forward to it. So that is our show for this week. Appreciate all of you listening. Thank you. In the penalty box, of course, Dan Courtright for Tim and Dylan. I am Blake. This is KVOE AM, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local. Have a great rest of your weekend.